You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Clement Maniatella
on 702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Seven minutes after 9 o'clock. Dumelang. Welcome to the Clement Maniatella Show. It's great to be in your company this morning. I hope you're well. We're together for 3 hours this morning, which starts with the 702 open line. That's an opportunity for you to set the agenda for us. 011-883-0702. That's the number to dial. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. The SMS line is 31702. You can start dialing us right now.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
By the way, congratulations to the IEB schools. They scored a 98% pass rate in a very, very tough year. So well done, guys, and well done to the parents as well. Well done to the teachers for the support that you've provided to the pupils. And good luck.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Maniatella
on 702.
Simon, you're calling us from Woodmead. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Clement. Thank you for taking my call. I think it's very important discourse, and it is very important discussion that we need to really take it onto the national level. I was listening, and I think you're very 100% correct in your preamble that is it a government failure or is it a political,
dangerous politicking.
Dangerous politicking. But because there is a failure from the Department of Labor to enforce what they're supposed to enforce, to check, what is the demographics in the restaurant? But now, take a step back. Why are we not actually channeling enough workforce into the places that we have foreigners coming in? And there is a structural fault in our education system. Because if you look at the hospitality and tourism, because I come from the educational background and that's my field, our tourism subject, if a kid take in the standard 8 and 9, the tourism and the hospitality, it doesn't qualify them to have a marks toward the university entry. So they're discouraged by taking that subject, one. Secondly, the question is, when you go and talk to the hotelier and say, why you're not taking South African? They show, okay, well, we got 100 applicants. Out of the South African, none of them have any vocational qualification in Zimbabwe, in Malawi, in Mozambique. There is a vocational qualification get offered at the early time from the high school onward. Mm. They all have a waiter and food and service certificate. Now, we had acute shortages of 33,000 barista in South Africa, 20,000 chefs, and maybe 100,000 waiter. But we don't have a vocational qualification. Qualified or as a recognized profession, chef is recognized as a profession.
Yeah.
The waiters in front of the house, people are not recognized. So I think we need to go back to the education system. That why our students have not been offered, and if they have been offered, why there's no incentive for this subject to be qualified them. And now let me tell you a very important thing. The waiting job, a lot of people think in South Africa, a gentle thing is just a menial job. No, it is not. The average waiter in a low-class restaurant will earn 8,000-9,000 in a month. A middle-class restaurant will earn 15,000. And a top-class restaurant in Monte Cassino and your Centen earning around 25,000 rand.
Yeah.
So it's a good money.
Yeah, Simon.
Unfortunately, we're not getting the people in.
Yeah, just two questions quickly. Are you in the industry?
Yes, I am. I'm an educator in the hospitality and tourism.
Oh, great.
I've been debating and fighting for our tourism subject to be recognized that they can get the marks for the recognition into this. Yes.
So what I'm picking up then, the disconnect you're mentioning is that when you look at foreign nationals, they often have that vocational training as compared to the locals. And that's why they would often be the ones that are hired.
Yes, 100%. That is. You see, City and Guild, City and Guild has been in South Africa for a while, but now the QCTO and decolonization of our thing, we kick them out. They got 150 years of the vocational qualification experience, and they got in 200 countries. In South Africa, we deregister them. We tell them that you're not allowed to give any qualification, but we are not ready. QCTO do not have the qualification. Our CAT CETA, which is industry CETA, is so large. You got a culture, education, the art, the hospitality, and tourism. 20 years ago, it used to be CETA, which is a tourism and hospitality. So we need to look at it, that how do we encourage our youngster to get into. Now, I'll give you another example.
Yeah.
This year, despite all the COVID, we have 495 brand-new hotels are built and starting in Africa, 30% of them in Southern Africa and 70% in North Africa. Where are they going to get staff? You think they're going to go to Europe to get? No, they're going to come to Durban, Cape Town, and Johannesburg to take our staff. And we don't have enough graduates coming out in the management position.
Yeah, so we need to do a lot of work then in training and getting people into the industry. I get you, Simon. Thank you so much for calling us. Simon is raising the issue around the disconnect. It's good and well to advocate for locals to be hired in these restaurants, but do they have the necessary training? When you compare them to their foreign counterparts, the reality is mostly they've got the vocational qualification. So this is going to be a discussion between the education department. It's a discussion around even whether you involve this at higher education, whether you involve this even at through the education system itself. So maybe even in grade 10, maybe that's where you start introducing it. There's home economics. I remember, I wonder if that subject is still around. When I was in high school, there was home economics. That was one of the subjects. They taught us how to cook. Well, I didn't do it, but my friends who took it were taught how to cook. And I wonder if that goes, how far that goes in getting you some limited skills so that you can put your foot on the door. Becky, you're calling from Western Area. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Clement. How are you?
I'm good. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Hey, Clement, my view is it is good for each and every one in South Africa to advocate for the South Africans to be prioritized in all the industries. But what we are seeing now, we are seeing the people who are only seeking the political popularity by personifying the impulses of the angry public. What is being done by Malema and other political parties? They should be doing that in parliament. They are in parliament, and for them to be in parliament, they are also civilians. They don't have those. They are not trained to maintain or to enforce the laws. They are not equipped. We have the legally mandated institutions which must be doing this job. We've got the law enforcement agencies.
Yeah.
So if we say now, for example, let me give you this example. We've got the people who ran SAA down. To Dumuheni, they've got those allegations. If we say South Africans, all of us, let us raise and catch those people and punish them, what kind of a society are we going to have?
Yeah, Becky, I hear you and I agree with you. And it's a point I raised in the beginning. The EFF doesn't have that legal authority to even demand that kind of information. But another conversation and question we can ask, Becky, is those legally mandated institutions, what have they done to make sure that restaurants comply with the law? I mean, often when you speak to officials from the Labor Department, you realize that they don't even have enough inspectors, right? That's why restaurants, or whether you talk about the trucking industry, that's why people do as they please and sometimes don't follow the latter of the law, and it's because of the failures to regulate, the failures to inspect and ensure that these industries comply with the law. It doesn't say what the EFF is doing is right, but I'm saying here's another conversation we should have. What has the Labor Department done? Do you think they would come on air? And we asked them for an interview last night, but they said they will be releasing a statement, so they're unable to come and join this discussion. But if they came on air, do you think they would be able, right? Do you think they'd be able to give us the numbers and say, we have been inspecting regularly the industry and we can tell you this is actually the ratio. These are the people that don't have the relevant papers to be in this country and this is the action we've taken. Or these are the people that are rightly in South Africa and these are the numbers and how they're looking like in terms of South Africans versus foreign nationals working in these industries. I highly doubt it. I mean, I think that's the failure, Becky, of those legally, right, of those institutions that are legally authorized to go about this work. But having said that, in what capacity is the EFF going there? They're private citizens, they're a political party. They're not legally obliged to even demand the information from the owners. And I spoke to the spokesperson of the EFF. I'll play the interview after 10 o'clock. I asked, what happens if the owner says, I don't want to engage with you guys? And that's exactly what the owner said this morning. The owner said, if they want to talk to me, let them send me a letter. What happened? Are they going to force themselves into the restaurant? And when they do that, that breaks the law. What's the plan? Tato, you are in Pretoria. What do you want to say?
Hi, I just want to comment on a few of the things. Firstly, with the EFF going to restaurants, that is obviously illegal. If someone tells you not to enter and you enter, you'd be trespassing. Of course, yes, their action is as a result of government not doing what it's supposed to do. But we cannot have people, for example, when we have people burning criminals because police don't arrest or take action.
Yeah.
We cannot live like that. We would be causing a kangaroo state.
Mm-hmm.
The EFF has the resources, the legal minds and the money to rather approach court to take the Labor Department to court to say, you are not doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You are not doing this. We therefore are approaching the court to compel you to do so. Or even before they approach the court, write a letter to the relevant department. This is our concern. We have a concern with Wimpy Restaurant at such and such place or Mug and Bean such and such place. Writing 100 letters is better than visiting 100 restaurants, causing restaurant owners to panic because we know EFF has gone to several places where, you know, violence, burning. Or
yeah, and that led to court orders. Yeah, that led to court. Even Tato, sorry to come in, even the Johannesburg Labour Court had actually ruled that the EFF is not a registered trade union, even though they've got the labor desk. They're not a registered trade union, and they have no authority to get involved in workplace disputes.
Yes. So from my point of view, if the EFF is allowed to act beyond their authority by doing this, what stops me, instead of calling police for a child that stole chocolate, from hitting that child? What stops the community from burning someone that they think did something wrong? So I think that is just a very dangerous slope. The EFF should not go about it that way. There are ways which they can go about it, which are legal, such as starting with compelling the department itself to say, look, we want you to check these and these restaurants and give us the report back. Government is accountable to its citizens. The EFF can therefore request that. And then my other opinion was regarding hiring of foreign nationals. I definitely am one of those people that hire foreign nationals that are not documented, preferably Zimbabwean when it comes to domestic work. I feel terrible, but I generally feel that they work harder. I feel they have less complaints. However, I do not pay them less. I do notice in the, you know, the community groups that you have in the States when people ask for domestic workers, it's shocking people asking to pay people 200, 250. And you're wondering, but what about the transport money? Because this person has to travel to your place. These people are working 8 hours and they're not working comfortable jobs when they're sitting at a desk. So I honestly think the minimum wages, though, if people have the necessary resources, they should pay extra. But even if you don't have the necessary resources, rather have your helper coming in for 4 hours than literally making a person work at a...
Yo, Tato, it's a tricky one because, I mean, you know that obviously what you're doing is illegal by hiring someone who is undocumented. That is not allowed. Do you take time, though, to look for locals? Because there are locals who are desperate for a job and they can actually equally do the job as the person that you've hired, and you're now risking breaking the law because you're convinced they work harder.
I definitely do try. There's schools where I donate to. I ask the children if their parents are willing. You know, say you're donating to a child, you're sponsoring a child, and you ask, oh, since you're less fortunate, does your mom maybe want a job? Does your dad maybe want a job? It's more difficult to find South Africans that are looking for jobs than it is to find foreign nationals. I'm not sure why, but I've been, my full-time helper who looks after my kids is South African, but our part-time helper that comes in on weekends is Zimbabwean. She's not documented. And with regards to this...
Is she waiting for papers? Have you asked why? Is she an asylum seeker?
With a passport, they got stamped in for a few days, and then that temporary permit has expired.
Ooh.
But what I wanted to comment, though, with regards to a previous call, I think the call just before...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Him saying that they have more qualifications, that's not correct. They are undocumented. So how do you verify? Because I know he's not calling SACA to verify their qualifications. So it's definitely wrong to say that they have more qualifications than...
Yeah. Tato, I'm sorry, I have to stop it there, but I think you made your point. Yeah, I think what the listener was saying was, in terms of the hospitality sector, they've got better vocational training. And I don't know if that's how, and maybe if you are Zimbabwean, you went to school in Zimbabwe, you can tell us if that's how the education system is set up in that country, in that when you are in high school, there's some level of training that you get around hospitality. So the listener was mostly saying, well, when it comes to skills, right, they have those vocational skills compared to the locals. But yo, Tato, what you're doing is illegal. And when you know that it is illegal, I think you must do corrective measures. Otherwise, you may find yourself in trouble.
Okay. Voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
Moiketsi, you're in the Johannesburg CBD. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to comment on the issue of the EFF.
Yes, quickly.
What the EFF is doing is wrong, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is the government is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. And now, my comment is also a question. What are other options that we have, you know, to hold the government accountable? Because voting seems not to be doing exactly what we want. And to prevent what we see currently with what the EFF is doing, what are other options that we have? Because I think we are still going to see more of these cases.
Mm.
You know, people are still going to take law into their own hands because the government is just not doing...
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
It's 28 before 10 o'clock. Let's continue with your calls. Lehlokonolo, you're in Tembisa. Hi.
Hi, Clement. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
I'm all right, man. Clement, you know, the problem that we have here in South Africa, we got four problems. It's called South African black middle class. The rich, South African white people, and South African media. Because the media is pushing the narrative that these people, all these people that I've just mentioned, they are comfortable in their houses, in their estates. They do not care about what happens to the other people. And that is a danger to the society because people have been crying and crying, and when people cry, they are being called xenophobia by South African media. A simple problem. We're not saying that we are an island whereby we cannot allow anyone else to come and migrate to our country. We're saying to government and everyone that people must come here legally with skills that we need, okay? Because let me tell you, I started my...
Yeah, hold on. So, hold on. I want to get to many calls as possible. Yeah, so I want everyone to be, please, be quick because I've got so many calls and I want all of you to, yes, to raise your views. So the point you're raising is what? Do you see anything wrong with that the EFF is doing? Are you saying we are too easy on the Labor Department because they are failing in doing their job and inspecting these places and enforcing the law?
What I'm saying to you is that it is high time that people take this thing into their hand, because
yeah,
Labor Department and each department that we have in this country has failed. Okay, we the South Africans, we need to take this thing and run with it, because nobody else is going to do it for us. Okay, we have cousins and sisters that are not working, that are looking for work left, right, and center. I wanted to say to you, I started in a restaurant. This is how I got my career up in Johannesburg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you cannot tell me that it's a critical. It is not. There is not. The gentleman who came through and said you need training for this thing, he's lying to you. What training do you need to read the menu?
Restaurants do train their employees. You don't just walk in and then they say, here you go.
Clement, I work in a restaurant. I'm telling you, you get there, you get training. The menu training, the only thing that they give you is menu training. You as a person, you have to have people skills, how to speak to people, how to make people easy when they're in the restaurant. That you don't get trained for. That is something that comes naturally. And you obviously need to communicate with these people in English or in Afrikaans or in whatever language.
All right. Lehlokonolo in Tembisa, thanks for your contribution. Linton, you are in Brett's. Hi.
Yes, good morning. I think my suggestion to this particular issue will be that
You know, the SA government, what they must do is, people are talking about the restaurant, which is whatever, the food industry. How about the wood manufacturing industry, the chemical engineering industry, the steel whatever industry? How many artisans do we have there currently? How many artisans are we training? Are we training enough? We are not doing enough. We look at countries like Zimbabwe, in as far as they've got so much problems, but they are busy churning out artisans, trained. I saw some advertisements. Australians are recruiting Zimbabweans here in South Africa. Canadians, they are doing that. And there is the problem. Why? Because they've trained their people correctly.
Now, where are they training them, Linton? Are they training them in school or just after school? They're more...
From high school.
From high school, okay.
I encourage people to do training vocational plenty. They may have political problems, but I'm telling you, as far as their training is concerned, they are the best.
And you're from Zimbabwe, Linton?
Yes, I am.
All right, great. Thank you. Because I did ask earlier, for those of you that are from Zimbabwe or even other countries, this vocational training, the skills, at what point do you get it? Is it fitted in the education system and that you get trained when you are in high school already? Or is it that there are many opportunities post-matric for you to get this training? So thanks for calling about that, Linton. Bubbles, Mandlelake, Israel, Onwe. I'll get to your calls after this.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
It's 20 minutes before 10 o'clock. We're talking about this visit by the EFF to various restaurants. They're not only going to Cream Restaurant, by the way. Apparently, after their visit to Cream, they're going to decide with which other restaurants to visit. And I've been asking you what you think about this decision by the EFF. Do you think this is a party that is being proactive and they're addressing a situation that government is failing to deal with? And regulate, or is this a party that is just stoking xenophobia and engaging in dangerous politicking? I interviewed the spokesperson of the EFF, and I'll play that interview after 10 o'clock. And when I was asking in what capacity are you going, well, he first said we're going as a party. And as a private citizen, I put it to him that you don't have the authority to be demanding this kind of information. And then he said, well, we're members of parliament and we're going there as members of parliament. But even with that, you don't just decide as a political party that just because we are also members of parliament, we can do these oversight visits, right? There are committees in parliament that are responsible for different areas. And if this area of hospitality falls under a specific committee, the committee would have to send its delegation, right? As a political party, you just don't make that decision. But you'll hear what Vianney Pambo has to say. Let's play some voice notes that have come through so far, and then I'll go back to your calls.
Hi, Clement. Home economics is now known as consumer studies, and it is still being offered at schools till this day from grade 8 in some schools, and then they can also take it up as a subject in grade 10. So it is still offered in schools.
Interesting. Thank you for responding to that. I asked about home economics. I remember when I was in high school, there are friends of mine who took the subject. And I wonder how equivalent it is to the vocational training that, in the case of Zimbabwe, their high school pupils are getting even from the high school days. Because if it's equivalent, then you could argue that if I've taken home economics in high school and I'm looking for a job, that must advantage me, right, and put me ahead of the pack, because at least I've got some skills that I garnered in high school. Let's go to your lines now. I see Herman Mashaba, the leader of Action SA, has given us a call. Good morning, Mr. Mashaba.
Hi, good morning, Clement, and thank you so much for actually having discussion on this very, very important subject matter that we've been talking about as South Africans for many years. And then I think always we look at it at one particular aspect. Like right now, we're talking only about EFF going to the restaurants, which I believe they don't have the right to do this, because we've got the Department of Labor, we've got Home Affairs. We've got a much bigger problem than what this is as an isolated case. We have people from Pakistan, from Bangladesh, from all over the world, from Czech Republic, people people opening businesses in our communities and being asked. And, you know, I remember Minister of Small Business some years ago when it started, this department, that they need to teach our people how to run business. You know how these people are running businesses? It's because what they do, they bring in billions of counterfeit goods, expired goods, and when open businesses in our communities, how do you expect a South African to compete with an illegal activity? Must they compete by getting involved in criminal activity? So South Africa is not against the people of the world coming here. We want people of the world to come here, whether from Zimbabwe or from Bangladesh. Come here legally, and when you're in South Africa, please respect our laws. Don't really do as you please. So that is the big problem, and it's being failed by this government because a big number of our the current government that involved in this criminality. I remember when I was the mayor of the city of Johannesburg, when I first raised this matter with Malusi Gigaba, and I had a meeting with him because he was calling me xenophobic. And when I had a meeting with him, we had a press conference after that, and he agreed with me in front of the media, committed to people of South Africa that he's going to engage with me in a few days so that we can deal with this matter holistically.
Yeah.
Even up to today. And as you're aware, as a Minister of Home Affairs, he was the one actually who was involved in issuing fraudulent documents to foreign nationals. We had a Minister of Defense being involved in human trafficking using state resources. So we've got a much bigger problem than what the eye can see.
Yeah. Hemant Mashaba, thank you so much for your contribution on the 702 open line. Let's go to Owne in Katlehong. Owne, good morning.
Morning, and how are you?
I'm good, I'm good. Go ahead.
I'm all right. Mr. Hemant Mashaba, you just mentioned criminality. I just underlined that word. They come and they claim that they are providing a good vocational qualification in their country, and then that is incorrect. Look, what we study when we go to school is because people who study engineering related studies, there's others group, they study business and business studies and stuff like that. So if the qualification and the education system that they have, it is proper, it is so good, why cannot they be at the same time translate that into opportunities and then create opportunities in that very same country, create trade relationship with South Africa and other countries.
Yeah, well, context matters, right, Owne? The political environment, the economic situation at the time, that matters. So it's not easy to just say, well, if you've got these qualifications and skills, why don't you make it work in your own country? That's not that's a simplistic approach.
Yes, can I talk again?
Yeah.
And another thing that I wanted to mention is that the gentleman who made a comment earlier on, Simon, he is completely part of the problem in this country here. We are fighting our own government in this country to change. We are fighting all the red tape. We don't want this bureaucracy in this country about this education system that we have. We're trying to change. When are we saying that they must have a proper intake for these learners? I'm talking from experience.
All right, Owne, I have to stop you there, buddy. I've got many calls, guys. I really am asking you to go straight to the point, make your point so that we can hear as many views and contributions as possible. Bubbles, I'll get to that call now. Let me play these three voice notes quickly.
Good morning, Clement and the team. It's Kenneth here in Walkerville. The difference I noticed with schooling in Zimmer and SA is with practical subjects like woodwork, bricklaying, welding, upholstery. By the time one leaves secondary school in Zimmer, he has a skill. More Zimbabweans here work for themselves than those formerly employed. It's just because there is business here in SA than in Zim. That's why most Zimbabweans are here.
Hi, Clement. I 100% agree with the EFF. I used to be a security officer, my bro. In that security industry, you must check all the foreign guys. They have been exploited. They don't have paperwork. They don't have nothing. And they don't have rights. David here from Johannesburg.
the hospitality sector.
Clement Manyatela, Sanbonani and the listeners. I think what the EFF wants to do more than anything is to get accountability and to ensure that the labor market is fairly distributed. One of the reasons that I think this happened is because of the influx of people coming in. If the market is fairly distributed, will not be claiming to have such high unemployment rate while foreigners see South Africa as a greener pasture.
Clement, my brother, morning. Me, I see the EFF making the sound, making the noise which no one is making. It is good. We must start somewhere. So it is good for a start. So they'll have a good plan as we go forward. But it's a start.
Yeah. And I like it.
All right, that's your view. Let's hear what Bubbles has to say in Rodeport. How's it going, Bubbles?
Great. I want to remind everybody, Malema said, open the doors for Africans. Come to Africa. We will be working and supporting you. Do you realize he's actually contradicting himself? Where does he think that people will work if they come in and they got no jobs? They look for a job. So that's one big contradiction.
All right, Bubbles in Rodeport, thanks for your view. I think Bubbles is responding to when Malema was saying we need a borderless Africa. But in fairness to him, he didn't really say if we have a borderless Africa, then let's make sure that, you know, restaurants or businesses also employ people that are not legally in South Africa. I don't remember him advocating for that. So I don't know if it really, really is a contradiction. It's 10 minutes before 10 o'clock.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
Let's go to Bryanston now. Mandlelake, good morning. Thank you so much for your patience. I know you've been holding for a while.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Clement. The guy who called from Tembisa, I just want to go straight to the point. The guy who called from Tembisa, he hated it on the nail. The problem here is the media of South Africa, is the rich people of South Africa. The minute there's a debate about the foreign people, whether they come in right or they come in wrong, if they come in here and they are South Africans who don't have jobs, the media of South Africa is the first of talking about these dangerous crowds and everything. Whether EFF were standing with this, and they are just riding on this bus because they are taking a right topic, then we support them. And the people of South Africa who are poor, who are not middle class, they're gonna burn and destroy this country because their cry is falling on deaf ears. And people who have so much to lose, it's the same middle class who are busy protecting these people because they want to use them in a bad way as well. That's my opinion.
Sorry, man, like, who's protecting who? So the middle class is protecting what? Big business?
Middle class is protecting, no. Media is protecting the people who have the rich people. Mm-hmm. And they are protecting these foreign people, whether they are documented or not. They are protecting them so that they can use them the same way the rich people are using them as well. Just like that woman who's saying, no, I don't even like make means to get a South African. What is that? I mean, what is that? It's like, even this thing they are saying, hey, these people are trained, South Africans are not trained. Can you say to your house, Clement, and say to your kids, no, I'm not going to give you food. The children from my brother's house, at least they can cook, for themselves. You're not going to eat. And then your kids will watch them in your house doing, getting the first service because they were never trained in cooking. What is that?
Right, Mandlelake, thank you so much. I hear your frustration. Thank you for your contribution. Let's hear what the other listeners have to say. Israel, you are in Four Ways. Hi.
Hi, Clement. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. Just like give you a backdrop of how the Zimbabwe education is structured. I went to school in the 90s. So what would join to boarding school? You had subjects like agriculture, fashion and fabrics, cooking and woodwork. So you had a choice of choosing one of those. And in that, I'll give you an example of me. I did agriculture. So for agriculture, we would actually kill a chicken, dress it up, and then it was served as dinner in the dining hall. That gives an experience of farming, preparing a chicken, and all of the things that will follow. So in that, you're actually equipping a student or a child to prepare for life after say, for example, to not make it in university. Mm. And so it's preparing for a practical subject. So those that we take would actually design something that's actually marked and passed or failed. So you're actually gaining a valuable experience. And then if you do not make it to university, you now have a choice of then going forward and picking that particular subject that you are good in, say, for example, woodwork, and then you can further that and then gain the valuable knowledge instead of going to university. So it's not always about getting a university pass and going to university, but also equipping those people. So you'll then find that those people now then come here, and then they are better equipped to maybe compete for that job. I know it's a wrong thing to say because of the current situation, but they are slightly advantage than someone who does not have that background.
Yeah, all right. And now the discussion must be with our government. How do we advantage our peoples, right? How do we advantage our young people so that even in schools they get the relevant skills, so that even post-matric they're able to be ahead of the pack when they are looking for jobs in the hospitality industry? Shakes, you're in False Flora's. Hi.
Hi, Clement. How are you?
Shub, shub, shub. How's it going?
I'm all right. Clement, I just want to say, you know, with South Africans, sometimes they are disappointing. They look at who does something instead of looking at the issue itself. If you look at the comments that they are against what Julius is doing, you will see that somehow they've got a benefit on the situation that we find ourselves in. Right, what I'm trying to say here, Clement, is our government actually is doing nothing about the matter. And we always say, if there is some issue that we need to raise, and fight about it, yes, in a correct manner. But now, on this matter, Julius is raising the issue that there are unskilled employment that are there which are being filled by foreigners.
Well, he's not saying that, Shakes. To correct you, he's not saying that. He's actually going to check that. He doesn't have that as fact.
Yes, but actually, that's the whole idea, to say if there are more foreigners who have filled in unskilled employment, what about our sisters, cousins, brothers? We need to be realistic. People are taking an advantage on foreigners, to be honest, especially those that are not documented.
All right, Shakes, in False Flora, thanks for your contribution. Sillo, you're in Benoni. Good morning.
Hi, Clement.
Sure.
Yes, a quick one. I agree with what the EFF is doing. This is the ruling party should have done this long time ago. But their focus should not only be on the restaurant and that. We've got so-called directors, the managers, they are running companies and they are foreigners. Does that mean we don't have educated people in this country? I work for a foreign country. There's an open vacancy now for a general manager. They are looking for someone from outside. What's happening with us, South Africans? This should have been done a long time ago. EFF must carry on, but they mustn't focus only on cleaners. Mm. You go to all the car washes and the filling stations, it's foreigners. Bruh, we need to get rid of everything here. We need South Africans to take over their country.
Salo in Benoni, thank you so much for your call. Look, we're going to play you the interviews that we recorded with the owner of Cream. I'll play you an interview that I pre-recorded as well with the spokesperson of the EFF, Vuyani Pambo. And we'll continue with your calls in the second half hour. But I think we also need to have a conversation about what our government is doing, right? It's easy for us to sit here and want to say, well, is there enough inspection being done in these industries? Yes, praise the EFF or criticize the EFF for their move. But another discussion we need to have is about the inefficiencies and failures of this government. One, they are failing to inspect these places. Like I said, if we brought the Labour Department here and said, give us the numbers, what's the ratio? How many people are employed that don't have the relevant papers? What action have you taken? Do you think they'll have those numbers? I doubt it. They probably would. But also, as government, the education system, how are you training people and giving them the relevant skills so that they are in a better position after matric to get a job? What is government doing about that? We'll continue this discussion in the second half hour of the show.